for battle. Some of the men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom and from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazeron Tamar, that is, in Gedi. Well, they're saying, you're here already. The problem right ahead. You can't deny it. You can't pretend that it's not there. Well, what does he do? Let's take a look, if you will, so that we can learn from him. We need to know the God we are praying, because that's really what happened. Take a look at verse 3. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. There's no denying. He's scared. He was scared. And so were the people. But he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah, and Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord for all the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. See how many times? Seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord, seeking the face of the Lord, seeking his presence, seeking his help, seeking his grace. But we begin with knowing the God who we are praying to. Because, you know, sometimes we only pray for ourselves or with ourselves. What do you mean by that, Bill? Well, this is what I mean. Remember the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ? Two men were in the temple praying. One was a Pharisee, one was a tax collector. Of course, the Pharisee, of course, he was there and he had bowed his head before the Lord and said, oh, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like this tax collector over there. And I tithe every day. I worship and all these. And he was all about himself. And the Lord said he went from the temple. From that time of prayer, simply praying to himself, not praying to God. Tax collector, the publican, beat his chest before God in a humble heart. Lord, forgive me. Be merciful upon me. You know, we need to know the God who we are praying to when we are praying. And I think this is clear in this passage here, if you will, from verses 3 right on through verse 6. He knows that it is the Lord who is our God. Verses 3, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah at Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before a new court, and he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. In your hands are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. A couple of things we see in this passage about knowing the God who we are praying to. As we cry out to him, as we seek him in prayer, we seek his face. He alone is the Lord our God. Not the government, not anyone else, but the Lord our God is the Lord who we are praying to. And he is sovereign. Verse 6, he says, look, in verse 6, he says, you are the God in heaven. You rule over the kingdom of the nations. All these nations that are gathered against us, you're the one who's ruling over them. He acknowledged that God is sovereign in all situations. And when you and I face an overwhelming situation, when we face overwhelming opposition, we must need to know, who is the God we are praying to? Reflect and remember all that he is and has revealed himself to be in his word and in his son, Jesus Christ. He is sovereign. He's in control. I'm not. You're not. Know that none can withstand him. For what he purposes, he will accomplish. Know also he wants us to seek him. He wants us. Know, remember the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer? Ask, seek, and knock. It's all about prayer. God wants us to seek him. You see, that's the God whom we have known and know right now. And that's the God we know that we're seeking in prayer. And that's the God that Jehoshaphat was praying to. Not Baal, not Asherah. The Lord is God. So we must know the God we are praying to. I don't mean just his name, but his attributes, his characteristics. What he has done, what he has said. That's all part of knowing the God we are praying to. But also, number two, we need to know God's promises for us. Jehoshaphat's prayer right now is predicated upon two truths. One truth was the promise that God gave to Abraham and his descendants, of whom Jehoshaphat and also Israel and even those in Judah were descendants. So he based his prayer on the covenantal promise of God. Then he based it on one other thing, the place where he was praying. That's why it's preceded with, they're in the new court, getting us our hearts to focus. That's the place of prayer. In fact, that's where God said to Solomon, after he built the temple, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, verse 15, If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from them and I will bless them. Then in verse 13, and he says, seek me and I will answer you when you seek for me in this place. You see, that's what Jehoshaphat was doing. He said, Lord, you have promised. We've made a covenant to our father Abraham, and we're part of that covenant. And we're here right in this place that you have promised you will hear. You say, well, that's good. That's all well and good, Bill, but what about us? We're not in Jerusalem. We have something even better. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Well, we're not recipients of the covenant promise of Abraham. Well, not for the real estate, but for the redemption we are. Amen? But also, we're recipients and we're participants in a new covenant. And when you and I go before the grace of God, we can, like Jehoshaphat, Lord, you have made a covenant with us through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And every time I take communion, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in his blood. And I rejoice in that and I rest in that. We have that same promise, the covenantal promises of God. All that God has given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. But we also... we don't have a place that we have to be. Oh, there's the X. Lord, you promised you're going to meet me in this place. No. We have a new and living way through Jesus Christ. And you and I, we don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't have to go to the outer court. We don't have to go to the temple if it was there. But you and I can go to the heavens, the Holy of Holies, through a new and living way. Okay?
Amen.
Great. Amen. So those are the two things, that, if you will, as far as the basis. And think of the promises God has given to you. We mentioned two, of course. The covenantal promise of redemption through his Son, Jesus Christ. But he's promised us eternal life. He's promised to care for us. He's promised to work all things together for good, for his glory in your life. There are a number of verses that support those, if you will, God's word. He promised to give us eternal life. John 3:16. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. He's given us eternal life. He's promised that. You have it right now. He's promised to care for us. Casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. So many other passages too. And of course, Romans 8:28. And there are many more too. But thirdly, like Jehoshaphat, we need to know that our battles are also the Lord's battles. Whatever you're facing in the battle of your life, in your life, it's not yours alone. That battle is the Lord's, both for you and in you. And through you. Now, here, verse 14 through 15, let's take a look. 14. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, and the Mattaniah, and the Levite, and the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the king and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great word, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Well, that's it. Well, we'll stay at home, Lord, and you can do what you're going to do. No. But we need to know, first of all, again, like Jehoshaphat had to be reinforced or reminded of that, that whatever battle you are going through and I am going through, it's not ours alone. It's the battle is the Lord's. Two things. When he commands us to participate with him in the battle, yes, participate. Bring the sword of the Lord to bear. Bring the power of prayer, the power of God through prayer to bear. We need to participate in the battle with him when he commands us to participate. That'll be the battle for souls of men and women and boys and girls. That'll be the battle of personal purity in your life and my life. That is a battle. And we are to participate in that battle together with the Lord. It's not yours alone. It is together with the Lord. It's his battle for the purity of your life and the purity of his church. It's a battle. And he wants us to participate with him in that. And it's also a battle for righteousness and justice in your life and my life, in the community, in this nation. And there are many other battles too that he commands us to participate with him. Then, if you will, there are times when he just says, stand still and trust in me. Because there's some things that overwhelmingly you face that you have absolutely no control over. I have absolutely no control over. And it's a battle. But he says, stand still and trust in me and wait. Now, waiting doesn't mean that we go ahead and sit down. Because we see further on. Let's take a look, if you will, verse 17, and you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. They weren't to sit home on their knees there in Jerusalem or in their villages and their towns. But what did they do? They did two things. They worshiped and they praised God. Do you realize that in whatever battle you are facing, whether it's a personal battle in your life, in your marriage, or in your family, or at work, or wherever it is that we have those battles, it's not ours alone. The Lord is with us. But also, in that battle that you and I face, we must always remember two priorities we must recognize and participate in is worship and praising God. Take a look, if you will. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed down his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord. What? Worshiping the Lord. The battles that you and I face every day, there are two priorities. We don't face them alone. God faces them together with us. And sometimes he says, I want you to participate in that. Sometimes he says, stand, watch, and trust. But while we're watching and trusting or we're participating, don't forget to worship him and praise him. That's number four in your outline. Know that worship and praise are always, always priorities in the battle. Worship is an act of our obedience and our love. Praise is an act of our thanksgiving and our trust. We see this repeatedly throughout the Word of God. Look at the Psalms. Worship is an act of obedience and love. Not obedience out of law, but out of love. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. Praise is an act of thanksgiving and trust in God. Number five, know that your victory in the Lord is to be a blessing to others. God gives victory. Have you had a victory lately? Have you? I pray you have. But you need to know that God is giving you that victory to be a blessing to others. Take a look, if you will, what follows here in verse 25 through 27. Verse 25 and 20. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in the great numbers goods, clothing, precious things, which they took for themselves until they could not carry any more. They were there 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Baraka. What is the Valley of Baraka? The Valley of Blessing. Why? Because God blessed them, and they're blessing others. For they were blessed of the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Baraka to this day. And continuing on, verse 30, if you will. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet for his Lord, for his God gave him rest all around. When God gives you victory in the battle, and we all have battles, that blessing of victory is to be a blessing to others. And that can be done in many ways. First and foremost, we must bless the Lord. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Do not forget his benefits. He's forgiven our sins. He's healed us from our diseases. It goes on there. Blessing the Lord. When he gives us victory in our battles, know that we are to be a blessing to others. First and foremost, blessing the Lord. Bless his holy name. But also a blessing to others. We do that by giving a witness and a testimony. This is what the Lord has done. Yes, he uses doctors. He uses medication. He uses surgery. He uses various means of intervention, but God is doing, because God is sovereign, and he intervenes. So, like the people of Judah, they knew that God had given them the victory, and they were a blessing to others. Number six, know that it's not over until it's over. Right? When did the battle stop? Well, when you're in heaven with the Lord, it's not over till it's over, okay? The reason I bring this out is because take a look at verses 35 through 37. Jehoshaphat, maybe he thought, well, now, boy, the Lord really gave us a major victory here. We have blessings and we blessed others. Now, we're back to normal. There's no normal in Christian life. Did you notice that? The only normal in your life is setting on your dishwasher or your washing machine. That's the only normal. Okay? Verse 35, after that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joined with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who acted wickedly. You know, one of Jehoshaphat's weaknesses was he entered into wrong alliances. He did that in chapter 18, and the Lord rebuked him in chapter 19 with Ahab. He entered into wrong alliances. As a Christian, you and I can also enter into wrong alliances. Young people marrying unbelievers, that's a wrong alliance. Be not unequally yoked with another. That was a weakness and a besetting sin in Jehoshaphat's life and heart. He aligned himself here in the last days of his life with a wrong alliance. Let's take a look if you follow with me. He joined him with building the ships of Tarshish. Well, it's only a business deal. Oh, yeah, but it's a wrong alliance. And they built the ships to go to Tarshish. They built the ship to Ezion Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavahu, boy, that's a name, isn't it? Of Marasha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have joined with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you made. And the ships were wrecked and were not able to go to Tarshish. Why? Because he sinned against the Lord by forming a wrong alliance that God never intended to sell. I think the point is here, it's not just the wrong alliances, but your battles and my battles are not over till it's over. You and I have to be vigilant. We have to be diligent, knowing that maybe tomorrow I'm going to have another battle. Am I going to allow my besetting sin, whatever that besetting sin is, to define what I'm going to do in this next battle or not? Jehoshaphat led that besetting sin of joining himself with other people. Didn't he think the Lord was strong enough for himself? We have examples, if you will, of people that wish they had done otherwise in their life. You could put my name in that list, and maybe your name there too. I think David probably thought after he committed adultery and was participating in the murder of Uriah, her husband, probably thought afterward, boy, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't go up there and look and look and look until I now committed adultery. But that did not define his life. God still used him afterwards, for he repented and God forgave him. But I'm sure David still remembered that, don't you? I look at Peter three times, but that did not, those denials did not define him. Think of Paul. I beat my body and I bring it into submission unto the Lord in preaching the gospel that I would not find myself disqualified. Because Paul knew in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, that the battles are not over till they're over completely. The battles in your life, the battles in my life, are not over until we stand before the Lord our God. That's when it's over. But take heart, beloved, because that moment has come for every one of us. But until then and now, may God find us faithful. Go through, if you will, with me. We could go through the other names, Demas and John Mark. But how do you remember that the battle again is continues? Guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. What do you mean, guard our heart? We'll guard our motives? Sometimes we have wrong motives for the things we do. Even as great and as good as that thing that we did, but we had a wrong motive. Guard our heart. Guard our motives. Guard our lust, the lust of our heart, the desires of our heart, our crying. Guard our heart for the judgment of others. We shouldn't be judging others. Guard our hearts for the bitterness and the resentment we may be harboring. Guard our hearts from an unforgiving heart and spirit against someone else. Guard our hearts. Because the battle isn't over. It's over when you and I stand before the Lord. But between now and then, he wants us to guard our hearts. For out of that is the wellspring of life. What else? Be vigilant. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not only to guard our hearts, but we need to be vigilant. Be vigilant against our adversary. The adversary who wants to, he wants to certainly deceive us. He wants to divide us. He wants to also devour us. He never sleeps. He never stops. He never gives up. The battle is still on for every one of us. But remember, that battle that you're having is also the Lord's with you. The next point, if you will, keep trusting in the Lord. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Focus on the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Trust in God's word. Trust in his guidance. Trust in his ways. Trust in his promises. You see, we trust him through obedience. Did you get that? Remember Ronald Reagan during the Cold War? Trust but what? Don't you know? But verify. Remember? What's the verification of your trust and my trust in the Lord? Our obedience. Our obedience. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Let's read that verse together, if you will. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do you face the battle of every day, every moment of every day? Guarding your heart, being vigilant, keeping trusting in the Lord, and rejoice in him. I want to finish well, don't you? I don't mean just the sermon. Okay. I want to finish this too, and I know you want me to finish it well. A dear friend of mine, in fact, a couple of them, as they grew in their journey to the Lord, they said, Bill, I want to finish well. If only Jehoshaphat had put that in his heart too, I want to finish well. But at the close, that besetting sin of wrong alliances, aligning himself up with other people, but it's only a business deal. Well, wait a second, no. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I want to finish well. Do you too? We have battles. But these points from Jehoshaphat's life, I think, can help us to walk by faith, not by sight. Would you join with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your word. Lord, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of your word. Spirit of God, guide us, we pray, not just to remember points of a sermon, but, Lord, the principles of faith. Principles that, Lord, we desire and delight that you would plant within our hearts. And may those seed principles develop roots, strong roots in you, Lord. And they be bringing forth the fruit of obedience, the fruit of your spirit, the fruit of victory in Jesus Christ. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.